Reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be pregnant by the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, since he was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had thought this over, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you shall name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place so that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet would be fulfilled. Behold, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And Joseph woke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he named him Jesus. This is the gospel of grace. Thanks be to God.
In the Jewish tradition, there is a Hebrew word which I believe every Christian should know. The word is chesed, and it is sometimes translated as mercy, or faithfulness, or my favorite, loving kindness. The story of Joseph, the husband of Mary, is a story of chesed. The story of one man's faithful mercy and loving kindness shown to his betrothed wife, and the story of God's faithful mercy and loving kindness shown to those who show it to others. The story, which we all know, Joseph was engaged to Mary when, before they lived together, Mary was found to be pregnant with child. The law, I'm sorry to say, was very clear on what was supposed to happen to Mary. According to the Torah, Deuteronomy chapter 22, she was to be brought before her father's house. And there the men of the town were to take rocks and stone her to death because a woman found to be with child before being married was seen as a crime against the holiness of the whole community. I want you to take a moment and think about the seriousness of that. The law was very explicit. The Bible very clear. And if Joseph had obeyed the full letter of the law of the Bible, then Mary would have been dead at her own father's door. Mary and the baby would both have been killed. Killed by the letter of the law. Killed in God's name.
I'm glad Joseph was not a full letter of the law kind of guy. I'm glad that he wasn't a fundamentalist follower of the law or think that he had to be. I am glad that Joseph was a man of mercy and faith and loving kindness, because there is a real difference between loving kindness and lawful blindness. The letter kills, St. Paul said, but the Spirit gives life. And Joseph was a man of the Spirit of life, not the letter of death. So he decided to simply dismiss Mary quietly and not bring public condemnation upon her or shame upon her household. It was a very faithful and courageous decision. If you think, pausing to think, of all of the mechanism of social control over the woman and over her body and over her community that was written into this letter of the law, and the injunction that it would be the men who had a right to come and enforce it. Let those with ears to hear understand. Then you can see what an act of faith and courage and loving kindness Joseph's refusal to obey the law really was. Joseph was a kind man, and he was a loving man, and he was also a very, very courageous man. And because of his act of courageous loving kindness, it was soon revealed to him that the child in Mary's womb was to be named Jesus, which means Savior. So then Joseph became, in the wonderful words of the blessed William Joseph Chaminade, the Savior of his Savior. I'm grateful to Father Richard Rohr for the insight of the order of things in this story. Joseph acts with courage and love first. Then it is revealed to him the meaning of those actions. It is action first and then revelation in the story. Kindness, then salvation. Or as the church fathers and the church mothers used to put it, fides quaerens intellectum, which means faith seeking understanding. First in this story is the bold and faithful moral action, and then comes the reason and the revelation and the word of salvation. Joseph did not know at the outset that Jesus, who it was that was in Jesus, that it was Jesus who was in Mary's belly. He didn't know the reason of it all. He wasn't thinking, well, the scriptures say a virgin shall conceive, so maybe this is the Messiah. No. The scriptures were very clear. Mary was to be stoned. But Joseph's conscience said to him, let her be. And Joseph followed his conscience. And then, after he acted, the revelation from the angel came. It was an act of faithful, loving kindness first, then, as he went along, the revelation of understanding. I want us to think about this in the context of our own congregation this morning. You know, I can think of a lot of people who have come to this church over the years, and especially in this past couple of years, who have come first on faith, yet not quite understanding. You've come on faith, but not on certainty. I think that that is a good place to be, because I've always loved what Paul Tillich, the theologian, said, and believe that he was right when he wrote, "The opposite of faith is not doubt, it is certainty." And I look out here and see these faces, and I know that many of you have come to Broadway, who have come to Broadway, have done so first in doubt, in hesitation, in some bit of real uncertainty, yet you have come here despite fear and trembling. You are present among us. And you've come here in faith. You have come here in courage, motivated by kindness. You were tired of religion that is unkind and condemning, so you came here in an act of loving kindness and courage. You don't have it all figured out. There are still questions. Maybe you have more questions today than you did yesterday, and it is fides quarens intellectum, but it is fides. It is faith. And it is mercy, and it is loving kindness, and it is an absolute act of courage and conscience that has brought you to this church. And my personal pastoral word for you this morning is to say this: trust yourself. Trust your conscience. Keep following your heart. Let mercy and kindness and courage win your heart. Let love win. Always let love win. Today we lit the candle of love. Love is the centerpiece of our faith as a Christian people. And that is because, as Jennifer said a moment ago, God is love. Paul himself said, if we have not love, we can believe a lot of things, and we can follow a lot of legalisms, and we can use the Bible to condemn a whole lot of people. But if we have not love, if we have the Bible, but we don't have love, then we have the letter without the Spirit. We have the law without the gospel. We have the book of Deuteronomy, chapter and verse, but we don't have Jesus. We don't have Jesus because under the law, we stoned him to death. Him and his mama too. But here is the gospel good news this morning on this fourth Sunday of the Advent. That Joseph was already not under law, but under grace. The Bible says that Joseph was a righteous man. He was not righteous because he obeyed the law with all of its legal mandates, and he was not righteous because he acted with certainty. He was righteous because he acted with faith. He was righteous because he acted with courage, with a sense of large-heartedness, and with tender mercy. Joseph was righteous because he acted with kindness and with love. He acted in kindness and in conscience. And then the angel appeared with those words which we all need to hear from time to time. Do not be afraid. The great old Harvard Memorial Chapel preacher whom I was so fond of listening to when I was a younger man, Peter Gomes, used to say, if an angel ever comes to you and says, be not afraid, you should be very afraid. Be very afraid if a life of absolute dogmatic, doctrinal, and Deuteronomistic certainty is what you want. But if it is a life of faith that you are after, then that is exactly what I would wish to say to you this morning. To those who are here at Broadway, in spite of what others in their certainty say about the Bible or how it is to be used and whom it condemns and whom it controls and where exactly love is supposed to end, I say this, do not be afraid. Take heart. Act on courage. Let loving kindness be your guide. Follow your conscience. Follow your faith. Even if you don't understand it all right now, the angel will come and find you. And it will speak to you. If you act on faith and mercy, the mystery of God's love and salvation shall be revealed to you as well. We read Luke and read Matthew, and we see that Joseph was not a man of many words. In fact, in all of the Bible, we never hear him recorded as saying anything. Some will say that this should be the true paradigm for biblical manhood. He didn't say much. But my, how his actions spoke and still speak then and now. And may all who have ears to listen, let them listen. And may all who have hearts to love, let them love. For without love we are nothing. But with love and with kindness, we too can become God's holy family. Broadway, we are God's holy family in kindness and in mercy and in faith and in courageous, courageous conviction. Do not be afraid. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God and Mother of us all, and together all of God's holy family, then say, Amen.